else. When Krishna wants to give, he gives with 10 hands. If we use whatever 2 hands we have to get rid of our anarthas, if we do it sincerely with Krishna's 10 hands, he'll take them away. When we try with our little 2 hands to get love of God, and we realize how difficult it is, with 10 hands, Krishna will give prema bhakti. This is Lord Chaitanya's blessing. In this spirit, let us celebrate Janmashtami together with this prayer. And very enthusiastically, with great determination, enthusiasm, and patience, let us live to be the servant of the servant of the servant and chant the holy names. I think I should end because it's already 1:15 and it's Srimad Bhagavatam classes become overtime. But I'll continue. Thank you. Please, if any of you are feeling whatever, if you're feeling any excuse whatsoever, please do not feel intimidated, guilty, or anything else from going about your daily routine. But since it's Janmashtami, we're not supposed to have any other daily routine. Where did I leave off? Sakata Sura? Acha. When Krishna was 1 year old, they had another celebration. Everything Krishna did, there was a celebration. If Krishna just winked his eyes, they would have a celebration. If Krishna smiled, they would have a celebration. If a breeze came and moved Krishna's hair, they would have a celebration. Why? Because they loved Krishna. Everything about Krishna was brought such happiness, they wanted to just share with each other and celebrate. In Vrindavan, everyone was a poet. Whatever they would see Krishna do, whatever they would hear of Krishna, they would make a poem about it and sing it. And throughout the day and the night, everyone was just singing the beautiful poems of what Krishna did today. And now he's just a little baby. He's 1 year old. In fact, the story I'm telling you is a Janmashtami story. It's the day of Krishna's birth. This particular leela happened today. Not happened today. It's about to happen today. Five thousand years ago, this pastime was about to happen today. You ready? Yashoda Mai was greeting so many guests, and she was patting little baby Krishna on her lap. Krishna became heavy. So heavy that Yashoda Mai, she didn't understand why. But she placed Krishna down. Why did Krishna become heavy? Because Kamsa had sent an asura, a very demoniac person. And these persons had mystic powers. The particular power is they could change their forms. And they had great strength. By chanting mantras, by their tapasyas, this particular asura took the form of a whirlwind. A windstorm. He was twirling around. Twirling and twirling and twirling and twirling faster and faster and faster. And he was moving toward Gokul. And as he moved toward Gokul, the wind was disrupting everyone's lives. It came to a state where the dust was in the air and nobody could see even within inches in front of their eyes. And Yashoda Mai, she already put Krishna down, but now she can't find him. Her motherly love. She was frantic. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? But she couldn't see. She was just moving around. So much worried. In this dust storm, what will happen to my Gopal? The demon's name was Trinavarta. Krishna knew he was coming. That's why he became heavy. Because he knew he had to kill this demon and he didn't want his mother to get affected. So she put him down and she was at some distance away. Trinavarta came swooping in directly, picked up little baby Krishna, held him in his arms, flew higher and higher and higher and higher into the sky. Really high. Way above what any airplane or rocket ship could fly to. The dust cleared. Yashoda Mai went to the place she put Krishna. He was not there. Everyone was searching for Krishna. Please hear carefully. Mother Yashoda, not able to find Krishna, she fell unconscious with the grief of a cow that had just lost her calf. That's the love of a cow for a calf. It's used again and again in the Vedic literatures of the most terrible, as the symbol or comparison of the most terrible pain a mother could have in the human form. Is like a cow that loses its calf. Cow protection is true compassion. To understand that and to feel that. Yashoda Mai was beyond herself in grief. Where is Krishna? As she was crying, all the Brijabasis were crying, where is Krishna? Everything's all right now, but Krishna's gone. Meanwhile, Krishna was having such an enjoyable experience. He was going higher and higher in the sky. And this massive whirlwind demon wouldn't let him go. Children like to take rides. You see, sometimes little children, the father or the mother, they throw them up. I've often used this example, but one of my dear godbrothers, he had a little daughter who was just a baby, a little bigger than a baby. She was a couple years old. And during Mangalarti, there was a marble floor. He would throw his little daughter high into the air and catch her. Now, I was a brahmachari. And I was scared. But the little girl, the higher he would throw her, the louder and more blissful she would laugh. She would be going, And he'd be smiling up at her, and he'd catch her, and he'd throw her up again, and she'd go, and he'd catch her. It's like, what if he misses? Why was the girl so happy? Because she had complete faith in her father. If we could have that faith in Krishna. Vajahure manasuri nandanandana abhaya charanadavindare. When we have that faith in Krishna, and that faith doesn't come just by wanting it. It comes through giving our heart to serve. When we become the servant of the servant of the Lord, and we hear from those who have this faith, gradually our faith awakens. And then in any situation, we have faith that Krishna's there. Little Prahlad was only 5 years old. He was thrown in fire. He was thrown in pits of snakes. He was thrown off cliffs. He was submerged in the ocean. He didn't have any fear. Why? Because he knows Krishna's with me. Maro birago bijo ichatoha nityadasa prati tuva adhikar. Krishna, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. Doesn't matter. I'm an eternal soul, and whatever, I've given my heart to you. I've given my life for you. Whatever you do, I'm your servant. I'm happy. That's fearless. If our fearlessness is that Krishna's going to protect me from having to leave this body, then it's not much fearlessness, because we are going to leave this body. Every one of us, whether we live 1 year or 100 years. Shukadev Goswami explained, the human life is meant for quality, not quantity. One moment of God consciousness, divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is more valuable than hundreds of years of living. Because we all have to die. But the soul's eternal. So when we have faith in Krishna, we're fearless in every situation. Because we know that Krishna's our ever-well-wisher. When we put ourselves in his hands, life, death, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, victory, defeat, success, failure, health, disease, we're with Krishna. And in every situation, we could be with Krishna. Especially by sincerely, with a grateful heart, calling upon his holy name. So we have so many amusement parks with all these different rides where children are... So Krishna was... Why do children like to take rides? Because we're all part of Krishna. And Krishna likes to take rides. When Krishna's a child, he likes to take rides. And this was a free ride. And it was the best of all rides. He was taken up beyond the heavenly planets by Trinavarta. Haribol. But he knew the Brijavasis down below, way, way, way down, Yashodamai was crying for him. And her love was increasing as she was crying from all the Brijavasis. Why would Krishna do this to them? Because their ecstasy was going deeper and deeper and deeper, higher and higher and higher, due to their absorption in their love for him. So Krishna became heavy for his mother, because he didn't want her to get this. He had to get away from her to kill Trinavarta. And then he became lighter than a feather. as this asura was taking them higher and higher and higher and higher, suddenly that same little featherweight baby Gopal became heavier than a mountain. For Trinavarta, a mountain's not a problem. Krishna became heavy like a universe. That was too much. The demon, he had to get Krishna off him. He was just too heavy. With all of his powers, he was trying to pull Krishna off and throw him down to the ground. But little Krishna, he didn't grow. He was still a little one-year-old baby child, the size of an ordinary one-year-old baby child. With his little tiny soft arm, he wrapped it around Trinavarta's neck and was squeezing. Trinavarta was choking. As he was choking, he was in total desperation trying to rip Krishna off him, and Krishna was squeezing tighter and tighter and tighter. And every now and then he'd kick Trinavarta. And ultimately Trinavarta, he totally choked. He lost all of his strength. His eyes bulged out of his head. And in his original form as a giant asura, he fell down to the ground. And crashed on a giant rock. All of his limbs were dislocated in every direction. And there was little baby Krishna smiling and crawling. For the Brijavasis, Vishnu shaved him again. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. They were thinking Krishna is so innocent that the Supreme Lord, the Almighty God, Vishnu, he protects the innocent. He protected our little Krishna. One day Yashoda Mai, she saw Krishna was hungry. Krishna was sitting on her lap with tears filling her eyes. She was looking at the beautiful face of Gopal. Was round like the full moon. He was smiling. So beautiful. His nose like a sesame flower. His lips like fresh bimba fruit. His hair's beautiful, beautiful like black silk swirling around his lovely face. Looking at the beauty of her child, she saw little teeth starting to grow in. It made her so happy. And she went to put milk in his mouth. And he slightly opened his mouth. The little baby Krishna yawned. His mouth became bigger. And as she was looking and counting the little tiny particles of teeth that were just growing in, she happened to see within his mouth the universe. She saw the whole sky. She saw planets. She saw all beings. She saw all living beings in the mouth, mountains, oceans. His mouth was only this big. How is this possible? Is this mythology? Is this some sort of symbolism? This is the highest reality. Achintya. To understand God, we first have to understand the inconceivable power of God. Parashya shaktir vivadaiva shruyate. The Lord has multifarious potencies, spiritual potencies, material potencies, every type of potency. Janmadhyasyayataha, the Brahma Sutra says, he's the source of everything that exists. Everything emanates from him. That is Krishna. We see miracles everywhere, all around us. How the earth planet is moving. The sun, the planets. How from a little seed, a magnificent tree is growing. How from a little seed, a human being is growing. The monsoon rains. How much water is there in a cloud? Can't even be calculated. Sometime this year, probably the whole Bombay, Mumbai, will flood because of one cloud. Countless billions and trillions of gallons of water are pouring down from one cloud. And the cloud is so light, it's just floating in the sky. If we want to transport trillions of gallons, liters of water, how many trucks we have? Trainfuls. But Krishna can put all that water in a container that floats in the sky. And a little wind pushes it to another place. That's Krishna. That's an insignificant sample of Krishna's potency. That same Krishna, when he's appearing directly in his original transcendental form, in the role of a little baby, who's so tired, he's yawning. How does God become tired? Some religions, they can't understand this. God doesn't become tired. God yawning? He's all powerful. But to awaken deeper motherly love from Yashoda Mai, he yawns. Is he tired? Let's take a vote. First vote is he's just pretending to be tired. Second vote is he really is tired. Okay. Who votes for number one? Say Haribo. If you vote for number two, say Haribo. It's too close. We'll have to have a revote. Number one. Two. Okay, that means he's really tired. But this is rasa. This is, rasa means the sweet nectarine exchange of divine love. If Krishna can do anything, then he could be tired too. I could become tired, and you could become tired, so we're not more than God. So if we could be tired, God could be tired too. But there's a difference between his being tired and our being tired. What's the difference? We're tired because we're tired. He's tired to increase the limitless ecstasy of the ocean of love in the hearts of his devotees. And by seeing his devotees' hearts, this limitless, shoreless, bottomless ocean swelling limitlessly, he becomes more happy. And by seeing Krishna become more happy, the devotee becomes more happy. And by the devotee becoming more happy, Krishna becomes more happy. And by Krishna becoming more happy, the devotee becomes happy. And in order to do that, Krishna becomes tired. When we're tired, nobody cares. So Krishna yawned, and Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe in his little tiny mouth. That's Krishna. If Krishna wants the universe to be inside of his mouth, absolutely, we have complete assurance, faith. Krishna could do it. And if Krishna wants the universe to manifest outside of his mouth, he could do that too. And Krishna doesn't have to grow. Vamanadeva, when he wanted to cover the universe, his form grew really big. And with two steps, he covered the universe. Krishna could put that whole universe in his little tiny mouth, which is the diameter of just about 3 or 4 inches. And he doesn't have to change his form. Yashoda Mai, she was increased distressed when she saw this. Anyone of you who is a mother, if you see something really strange in your child's mouth, you get really worried. So Yashoda Mai, she was thinking, Krishna must have a disease. And she closed her eyes because she didn't want to see this. And then when she opened her eyes, Krishna was smiling upon her. And she completely forgot everything she had just seen. How do you forget something like that? That's Vrindavan. Krishna's, the sweetness of Krishna's beauty and love is so great. We know he's the greatest of the great, and he's Mahavishnu, and he's Narayan, and he's Narasingha Dev, and he's Varaha Dev, and he's Ramchandra, and he's always. But his love is so nice, so sweet. His beauty is so sweet. It just completely covers all the opulences, excellences, and powers of Krishna. And we just love him because he's Krishna. That is Yashoda Mai. Vasudev sent Garga Muni to give blessing and name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. When Garga Muni arrived at Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda Maharaj greeted him. Nanda Baba was so grateful. He said, great sadhus, saints like you, you come house to house, apparently like a beggar, only to give the highest blessings and good fortune to the householders. Because householders like us, we're trying to live with dharma, we're trying to live with bhakti, but we get so much distractions, raising families, occupations, so many complications are there. But sadhus come to homes just to remind us of our real purpose and our real goal of life. But you are expert in astrology, and you could see past, present, and future. Please perform the reformatory rites for Krishna and Balaram. Garga Muni said, if we do this in a way that is public, then Kamsa will know about Krishna and Balaram being here. Nanda Maharaj said, but we don't want to lose this good fortune. It's so rare that you are here. Dulava manava janama satsange taraha evavo sindure. This human form of life is very rare. But the rarest, most precious wealth in all the human form of life, the greatest fortune, is association with true sadhus. Association with those who love God. So Nanda Maharaj said, please come to our goshala, our cowshed, and we will have a secret name ceremony. In the cowshed, Garga Muni, he said, this child of Rohini, because he will give happiness to all the residents of Gokul, his name is Ram. Because he has extraordinary strength, his name is Bala, Baladev. And because he unites the two families of the cowherds and the family of the Yadus, his name will be Shankarshan. And this Krishna, he appears in every millennium as a Yuga avatar with a different color. In Satya Yuga, he has appeared in a white complexion. In Treta Yuga, in a red complexion. In Kali Yuga, he appears in a yellow complexion. And now he's come with this dark complexion of a monsoon cloud. Previously, he was the son of Vasudev. So his name is Vasudev. He has many forms and many names according to his qualities, the relationships with his devotees, and his pastimes. He has come to increase limitlessly the bliss of all the Brijavasis in Gokul by his grace. You will all surpass all the difficulties in life. He comes to vanquish demons. Your son is as good as Narayan. Please raise him cautiously. After a short time, Krishna and Balaram learn to crawl. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, I'm the ability, I'm the intelligence, I'm the strength of everyone. But the Supreme, all-powerful Lord, just to charm our hearts today, at this moment, is just starting to learn how to crawl. Krishna and Balaram were crawling on their hands and knees like little serpents, sliding around. They'd follow the ankle bells of the gopis, thinking it was Mother and Yashoda and Rohini Devi. They'd crawl, 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 sliding. As they'd be sliding, they'd get all muddy. And they'd reach a gopi. And the gopi, oh, little Krishna, little Balaram, they'd look down. And when Krishna and Balaram saw it wasn't their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini, they would become very frightened and crawl away very fast. And when they'd crawl to Yashoda and Rohini Devi, the mothers would pick them up and embrace them, feed them their milk, free them from all fear and make them happy. The little children were always dressed in the muddy earth of Vrindavan. That mud, it was the dust of Vrindavan mixed with the urine of the cows, the dung of the cows. They were so beautiful. How much money do people spend on fashions these days? It's one of the biggest industries on the planet is fashion. Yes. In most countries, whatever the president's wife wears becomes great fashion. But it's so nice in India, Prime Minister Modi. There's no first ladies that everybody's imitating their fashions. Swami's like that. Bollywood ladies, whatever they wear, becomes the talk of people who are in Maya. But fashion is so huge, such an industry. Sometimes a single dress costs millions of dollars. But Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He's Lakshmipati. In Narayanpur, Vaikuntha, what is he dressed? He has Kostubha Mani. He has elegant Chintamani jewels. But as Gopal, his fashion is he has no clothes on except the cow dung and the cow urine mixed with the dirt of Vrindavan. So beautiful. That's the fashion we should aspire for. And no matter what anybody dresses like today, 5,000 years ago, nobody's going to remember. Yes? But still, today, there are millions of devotees today on Janmashtami who are remembering how Krishna was dressed with the dust of Vrindavan mixed with the dung and urine of cows. And if we really appreciate that, we will achieve the ultimate liberation. The mothers would embrace him. And they would compare. Rohini would say to Yashodamai, I see four little teeth growing in Balaram's mouth. Yashoda would say, I see three little teeth growing in Krishna's mouth. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram, they would see a little calf. And they'd crawl like little snakes up to the calf. And from behind, they'd pull the tail of calf. The calf would become afraid and jump up and start running. And Krishna and Balaram were so afraid, they were afraid to let go of the tail of the calf. And the calves would be dragging Krishna and Balaram through more dung and urine and dust of Vrindavan. And all the gopis, they were laughing and singing the beautiful poetic praises of this wonderful pastime. In this way, Krishna would enjoy life in Vrindavan. After some time, they began to walk. First thing they did when they walked, they met with their friends, the cowherd boys. Together, they would enter the house of different gopis to steal their butter. This was going on. And the ladies were so happy. They would go to Yashodamai to complain about Krishna. Why complain if you're so happy? This is Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, nobody complains when they're happy. And in this material world, no one complains when they're happy. Don't think this is a justification that you can start complaining about things. They would complain because it was an excuse to talk about Krishna in a very exciting, dramatic way. They'd go to Yashoda Maya and tell her that your child Krishna and Balaram, early in the morning, they come into our houses and they steal our butter in so many ways. They will break the pots with rocks and eat the butter. And when we see them, we'll chase after them and they'll run away. And one gopi said, I saw Krishna stealing my butter and I called out, you are a thief. And little Krishna looked at me very, very great, grave look on his face and said, you are a thief. And then he ran away. One gopi said, sometimes in order to prevent these thieves from stealing our butter, we put them in clay pots and we hang them very high from the ceiling by ropes. Krishna Balaram, they find our wooden grinding mortar where we grind grains and spices, and they somehow or other push it, and then they climb on it and they reach to get the pot. And if it's still too high, one on the wooden grinding mortar, one gopa will get on the shoulders of another gopa. And if it's still too high, Krishna has a special stick with a pointed end. He'll get on the shoulders of a gopa and with his stick, he'll make a hole in the pot and all the butter will come out and Krishna will eat it and he'll distribute it to all of his friends and they'll eat more and more and more butter until they're completely full. And then when there's still more butter, Krishna will call monkeys. And all monkeys will start jumping through the doors and the windows into our house. And Krishna will be feeding them all butter. He'll take all our butter until the monkeys are completely filled and they'll all leave. And then whatever butter is left, Krishna will throw it on the floor in disgust and say, this butter is so useless, even monkeys don't want it. One gopi. Krishna, when he couldn't find the butter, he went into my little baby's bedroom, who was sleeping, and pinched him. Poured a little water in his ear and made him cry. And then Krishna would run away. Another gopi said, well, when he couldn't find butter in my house, he went into my temple room and passed urine on the floor. This is Krishna. As Narsingadev, he appeared to annihilate Hiranyakashipu. As Krishna, he passes urine on the floors of gopis' houses. He's all attractive. Whatever he does, it's supremely wonderful. Another gopi said, she caught Krishna with butter all over him. And he said, and he fell at her feet and begged her with tears in his eyes, please let me go. Don't tell my mother. I promise I won't do it again. So I let him go. Another gopi, a very senior, exalted gopi, she caught Krishna. She said, I'm going to bring you to Mother Yashoda. Because whenever we lodge our complaints against you, Krishna always looked so innocent. Yashoda would look at Krishna, and Krishna would look like, why are they saying these things against me? He was so innocent looking that Yashoda Mai, all she could do is tell the gopis that if you don't, I'll keep Krishna home. They said, no, don't keep Krishna home. You said that his jewels seem to light up the room even when it's dark. I'll take off his jewels. They said, no, don't take off his jewels. Because the only reason we make our butter is with the hope and the longing that Krishna will come to steal it. When our hearts become soft like butter through the path of bhakti, Krishna will steal our hearts. That's our highest aspiration. So this one gopi, she taught Krishna, and she said, I am going to take you to Yashoda Mai right now, because she doesn't believe that you're stealing butter. But now your face is covered with butter and your hands are covered with butter. Come with me. And little Gopal, he had just recently learned how to walk and run. He said, I warn you, do not bring me to my mother. She brought him to Mother Yashoda. She said, you see, Yashoda Mai, you don't believe us. We come to you so many times and complain about Krishna eating butter and stealing our butter, and you never believe us. Here he is. Look, I caught him red-handed. There's butter all over his body. It's my butter that he was eating. Look. Yashoda Mai looked. She turned to the gopi and said, I don't understand what you're doing. She said, well, I'm showing you that Krishna does steal our butter. Yashoda Mai said, I don't understand. The gopi looked down. She was holding on to her own son. She was totally bewildered. It wasn't Krishna, it was her own son. How did this happen? I was sure it was Krishna. I caught my own son stealing butter and brought him to Yashoda. She was really bewildered. So she said to her son, let's go home. She was walking home. And suddenly she felt a pulling in her hand from her son. And she looked down. It was Krishna. Krishna had a very mischievous, serious smile on his face. And he said, I warned you. And I'm going to give you another warning. If you ever do that again, bring me to my mother, then next time I will take the form of your husband. One time, Yashoda Mai went out of the house, and Krishna immediately put his hand in a pot of butter. And Yashoda Mai actually came right in and saw him. And immediately, before she could say anything, Krishna said, I'm not stealing butter, I'm not stealing butter. But his hand was in the butter pot. Gopal said, you may wonder why my hand's in the butter pot, but I'm not stealing butter. So the reason is because there are rubies on the bracelet that you put on me, and those rubies are burning my arm so much that I'm putting it in butter just to relieve the burning sensation. You showed him my... All she could do was smile. She picked up Krishna and put him on her lap, and she knew everything. She looked at Krishna's little wrist, and she took the bangles off. She said, look, it's true. Your wrists aren't burnt by the rubies. I won't put the rubies on you anymore. On Diwali,
the day of Ram's entrance into Ayodhya after 14 years of exile. There was a beautiful celebration in Vrindavan. And early in the morning, Mother Yashoda, she was thinking, so many gopis come and complain that Krishna's stealing butter. Why is he doing that? Nanda Maharaj had so many cows. And among the cows, Yashoda Mai would personally grow a particular type of grass. Pushpaganda. It was such fragrant grass. She would water that grass with the milk of the best cows and feed that to the 10 best cows. Pushpaganda. That milk, just by seeing it, it would intoxicate you with happiness. Its fragrance was ambrosial, but to speak of its taste, she would use that butter or that milk to make into yogurt, to make into butter, to feed Krishna. But still Krishna was going out and stealing other gopis' butter. Yashoda Maya was thinking, I should churn it myself. Because she would have her assistant gopis. So this early morning for Diwali, Yashoda Maya woke up very, very early. Krishna was still sleeping. And she began to churn the yogurt from the most precious milk in all of creation. And as she was churning, she was chanting this beautiful songs about Krishna's pastimes with motherly love. And as she was singing, her bangles were making a nice little sound like churning and churning and churning. And remembering Krishna, her breasts filled with motherly love and milk started coming out. And little baby Gopal woke up. He was thirsty for that milk. He came running to the spot where Yashoda Mai was churning. And he jumped up on her lap and he held the wooden churning rod and looked at his mother. Like, when I am here, your dharma is to feed me. Yashoda Mai was so captivated seeing the beautiful smile of Gopal. She started feeding him from her own milk. Suddenly, in the next room, there was a pot of milk from that same special cow and grass that was boiling over on a stove of fire. That was supposed to be to make different sweetmeat preparations for Krishna later in the day. So she put down Krishna because such valuable milk. She went running to take it off the stove, but as she went running, Krishna was thinking, why has my mother left me alone? Now I will do more mischief than ever. And he picked up a little piece of stone broke the clay pot. The yogurt was spilling all over the place. He ate some. Then he wanted to do more mischief. He was sliding around in the yogurt with his little tiny feet. He went into the next room, a courtyard, where he saw the butter stored in the clay pots from ropes in the rafters. And he climbed on the wooden grinding mortar and reached up to eat the butter. As he was eating the butter, little cowherd boys were watching. He called the monkeys and fed them the butter because Krishna wanted to share whatever was good with everyone. Krishna's greatest pleasure is to share love. The whole path of bhakti is to share love. Bhakti yoga is where what Krishna loves to do, the very path of perfection, is what we get to do. Our path of perfection is to do what Krishna loves to do best. Share love. That's bhakti yoga. So as Krishna was covered with butter himself and feeding the monkeys butter, he was looking very intently to make sure his mother was not going to catch him. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mike takes the pot of milk off the stove, and she comes to the spot where she left Krishna. The pot is broken. Half-churned butter is all over the floor. She sees little, beautiful little buttery footprints of Krishna, and she follows them. And she's standing behind a pillar secretly. She's holding a little stick to teach Krishna a good lesson by showing it to him. And she sees Krishna on the grinding mortar, feeding the best of all best butter to monkeys. From behind Krishna, very quietly, slowly she comes up. And suddenly, the monkeys see Yashoda Mai coming. They start jumping and scampering out the windows. And Krishna turns around and sees his mother, jumps off the grinding mortar to run away. And Mother Yashoda's running after him. And Krishna's running even faster. And she's running even faster. And flowers are falling from her hair. Some of the flowers were falling to touch her feet. That even Krishna's running away from her. I want to worship her lotus feet. And other flowers, they fell on the ground because she wants to punish Krishna. I don't want to be a part of this. She was running and Krishna was running and ultimately she caught Krishna. Queen Kunti remembers this beautiful scene. Krishna, you are feared by fear personified in the form of time, old age, death. Everyone is afraid of you. What to speak of Narasimhadev? Everyone but Prahlad was afraid of him. The Virat Rupa, the universal form, even Arjuna was afraid of. You are feared by fear personified, but you are afraid of Mother Yashoda. Yashoda Mai caught him. The greatest scholars of the Vedas and Vedanta cannot catch the Supreme Personality of Godhead by all their knowledge. Yogis, even who have perfected all the eight Asta siddhis, mystic siddhis, cannot catch God. With our money, with our power, with our influence, with our knowledge, nothing could catch God. But Yashoda Mai caught Krishna. He's faster than the wind personified. But he's caught by the love of his devotee. Krishna pleaded with his mother, please put down your stick. Yashoda Mai said, you are Chodaraj, the king of thieves. And then she called him the king of the monkeys. Because you associate with monkeys so much, you have become a monkey. Gopal said, please put down your stick. I admit that I have done it, but I won't do it. So Yashoda Mai looked at little Krishna and she
understood he was afraid of the stick, so she threw her stick away. Now, she had so many chores to do for Krishna, and he was in such a mischievous mood that day, she decided just temporarily to tie him to the grinding mortar with a very soft silken rope that's used to tie calves to keep them protected. She put it around his little waist. Was two fingers too short? She tied extra rope to that rope, wrapped it around his waist. Again, it was two fingers too short. More rope and more rope. No matter how much rope she tied to the original rope, it was always the same distance, to the width of two fingers too short. Soon other gopis started coming, bringing all the ropes from their homes. So many different color ropes. She put kilometers worth of ropes around Krishna. And it was still two fingers too short. And Krishna was not growing. The gopis said to Yashoda Mai that it is not Krishna's destiny to be bound by ropes today. But Yashoda Mai, I have to protect my son. Besides that, I want to see how many ropes it takes to go around his waist. So she kept trying. How is it possible to bind Krishna? Everything within creation is within Krishna. How can you put a rope around him? Everything that exists is inside of him and outside of him. He's the controller of all controllers. Within this little world we're living in, everyone is bound up by the three gunas. Sattva guna, Raja guna, Tama guna. The gunas are compared to ropes. We're being dragged by these ropes. So many temptations, trying to find so many pleasures, trying to avoid so many pains. Raja guna and Tama guna, they control the whole world like ropes. But Krishna, he's bound by the ropes of his mother's love. He's Bhakta Vatsal. He agrees to be subordinate to the love of his devotees. Yashoda Mai tied the rope around Krishna's waist. Krishna allowed himself to be bound by the ropes of the love of his mother, to show the whole world for all time to come that I am forever eager to be bound by the ropes of my devotee's love. And that love is within each and every one of us. By hearing these beautiful pastimes, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, by seeing the wonderful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in their magnificent brand new dress of Janmashtami. Incredible. Radha Priya Devi. I was told by her family she meditated upon and dreamed making this type of dress for Radha Gopinath for many years. And today it is manifested. Clothed by the love of his devotee. Sri Radha Rani is clothed by the love of her devotee. Just as Krishna is bound by the ropes of his devotee's love. After Krishna was bound by Yashoda Mai, she went to perform other sevas. And Gopal, he was looking around. What mischief can I do now? Just like in any situation we are in, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success, failure, whatever situation, whether it's a nice air-conditioned temple room or whether it's burning, blazing, hot in a train, overcrowded with people, whatever situation we're in, a devotee is thinking, how could I best serve? And Krishna, in whatever situation he's in, he's thinking, how could I give pleasure to my devotee? In this situation, he was thinking, now that I'm bound up to this wooden grinding board or by ropes, what opportunity for mischief could I do? And he happened to look out into the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj's home and saw two enormous trees. Arjuna trees are trees that are so strong, even cyclones and tornadoes rarely could make them fall. When he saw those trees, he remembered his beloved devotee Narada Muni. The history of those trees, and I think I'll end class soon after this. You are all really patient. I'm so grateful to you. The two sons of Kuvera, their names Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. They were born in such aristocratic wealth, fame, and opulence in every way. They were demigods from heavenly worlds. Their bodies were extraordinarily strong and beautiful, handsome. Their father was Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly worlds. The demigods put deposits in him. Can you imagine how wealthy he is? These insignificant little Wall Street bankers and what is the street in Mumbai? These little tiny Dalal Street bankers, investors. What is their wealth compared to Kuvera? He controls the treasure house of Swargaloka, the heavenly worlds. So he's very powerful, very famous. His half brother's Ravana. So he's very influential in every way. So sometimes when children are born with parents that are so powerful and so famous and so wealthy, and they get anything they want every time they want, they think that they deserve everything. It's called being spoiled, where you just expect whatever I want, I should get. But life's not like that, as they are to see. So now they're young men, and they're taking very, very powerful intoxications. But it's heavenly intoxication. The intoxications of the heavenly world, you don't get hangovers. You cannot overdose and die. You don't get all, like, forgetful and... The intoxications of this world put you in the mode of ignorance. But in the heavenly world, they bring celestial pleasure. So they were really intoxicated drinking this rasas of the heavens. And they had beautiful heavenly girls around them that they were enjoying. And they went on a mountain retreat, a lake with crystal clear fragrant water and lotus flowers blossoming in it.
They were playing in the water without any clothes with these girls, with these ladies. They were singing songs and doing so many things. Just so happened that Narada Muni came by at that moment. Narada Muni's a brahmachari. So the lady is respecting the brahmachari. They became very nervous and ashamed, totally ashamed. What are we doing? Just by seeing a saintly person, it kind of exposes our maya, if we're receptive. So they got out of the water really fast and they put their clothes on and kind of ran away. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva looked at Narada Muni and just ignored him. Who cares? They just stood there naked in front of him. Narada Muni is the well-wisher of everyone. He understood. Because of all their wealth and all their power and all their fame, they've become so intoxicated by the spirit to enjoy. What can I do to give them the medicine that will cure them of this? He cursed them. He gave them the blessing of a curse. I curse you to become trees. All of a sudden, these beautiful demigods became trees. But Narada Muni made them trees where they were born in this particular place that long after, because they were there for thousands of years in these tree forms, and they got trees can't move. Trees can't talk very well. Trees might be happiest trees, but they had the exact same consciousness as they did before. So now, they're demigods who could do anything they want, anytime they want, and now they can't do anything except stand there for thousands of years. And if you have an itch, you can't even scratch it. And as trees, little birds, you're a gigantic tree and these little birds are pecking at you and poking on you and little ants are eating you and you can't even get them off. You're just tolerating and tolerating. And over the time, they got really humble. And at the right time, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj built his house right there and they were in his backyard and they were watching Krishna's pastimes throughout his little life. So Krishna saw them and he crawled, pulled the grinding mortar. When he went between the two trees, he went between the trees, but the grinding mortar got caught between them. And Krishna effortlessly just crawled a little further. The rope was around his waist. The grinding mortar pulled on the trees. The trees cracked. Uprooted. Came right out of the ground. Fell to the ground. These trees were so giant that the whole land of Vrindavan shook. And it made a really tumultuous sound. And the Brijavasis heard it. What happened? Maybe Krishna's in danger. Anything that happened, they would think of Krishna. They came running. Nanda Maharaj and cowherd men ran, and they saw these enormous trees uprooted, laying on the ground. And right in between them, with either tree just inches from his body, was little Krishna tied to a grinding mortar. What happened? How did these trees fall? And some of the little boyfriends of Krishna, they said,
We saw it, we saw it. Krishna pulled and the trees came out. But before the cowherd men came, when the trees fell to the ground, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, in their demigod forms, emerged from the trees. Because of the good lesson they learned by standing like that for so long, they became really detached, and by seeing Krishna's beautiful pastimes, they fell in love with Krishna. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayavachita. Pure devotional service includes all knowledge and all renunciation. It's the fruit. They performed tapasya and they saw the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. As great demigods, they offer prayers. In their prayers, they offer their deepest gratitude to Narada Muni. Because of his mercy, we have had your darshan. We surrender to you. In whatever way, any way you want us to serve you, in any form of life, please just give us the benediction. We will always remember you and never forget you. Krishna bestowed upon these two sons of Kuvera the highest perfection of yoga. Krishna Prema. And told them to resume their service in the heavenly worlds. And gave them the blessing they would never forget him and always remember him. Some of the little cowherd boys saw all this. And were enthusiastically narrating it to Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men. Nanda Maharaj and cowherd men, how could we believe this? That Krishna pulled down these trees. That heavenly beings came out of the trees. Talkative children, they say so many things. Before Nanda Maharaj came, Krishna was telling the gopas, please untie me, please untie me. And they came running, but they couldn't untie him. Because it was tied with his mother's Vatsalya Bhav. When Nanda Maharaj came with his Vatsalya Bhav, he untied Krishna. He was sitting on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. Yashoda Mai heard what happened. She heard the tumultuous sound of the trees falling, and her only thought was Krishna. She came running to the scene in the frantic ecstasy of motherly love. And there she saw Krishna on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna would not look at her. She tied him up. And the gopas said, Krishna, Yashoda's here. Nanda said, your mother is here. And Krishna wouldn't look at her. He said, who is going to protect you? Krishna said, Nanda Baba will protect me. Well, who's going to feed you? Krishna said, my father Nanda will feed me. Yashoda Mai was so brokenhearted. Just see how I have caused Krishna, I have caused so much distress to Krishna by tying him up. She couldn't live with herself. Krishna would neither speak to her or even look upon her. Yashoda Mai went to a secluded place and cried and cried and cried. A gopi told Krishna that your mother's about to leave her body. She's in so much distress, missing you. And Krishna jumped off Nanda Maharaj's lap and ran to Yashoda, crying, mother, mother, I'm here, I'm here. And when Yashoda Mai saw little Krishna running toward her with his arms out, she came running to Krishna with her arms out. Vipralamba Sambhog. She embraced Krishna. Krishna smiled upon her. He said, I'm hungry, please feed me with your love. Krishna drank the nectar of Yashodamayi's love. And I'll end with this story. Gopis complained about Krishna stealing butter. Yashoda Mai always was on Krishna's side. But the gopas, Krishna's little friends, they wanted to participate in this beautiful pastime of complaining about Krishna to increase Yashoda Mai's love, knowing that that will increase Krishna's love. So one day, Krishna and Balaram came to Mother Yashoda and said, today we saw on the bank of the Yamuna River